Besides drunk driving, distractions and being reckless, poor road construction and maintenance, potholes, tracks and uneven road surfaces contribute to road accidents. A recent study by Zutubi, an online driving education company, showed that SA has the most dangerous roads out of 52 countries. One case of this is a huge hole on the main road in Greymount, Johannesburg, that swallowed a car. It had originally been dug by Johannesburg Water to fix a water leak in the street. The hole had been reported several times to Johannesburg Roadworks, JRA, and Johannesburg Water before ultimately swallowing the hatchback car driven by a 74-year-old pensioner. Clive Meyer, director at SCP Security in Greymount, is one of the people who attempted to alert the roads agency about the huge hole. The department responsible for road safety and security improvements in Gauteng is the Transport Department. The Johannesburg Roads Agency is responsible for the construction, maintenance and management of road infrastructure. According to its social media page images, the organization fixes roads daily. Maya tells us more about SCP Security and the reason they reported the hole.
We do armed response and alarm monitoring for residential and commercial or business premises in and around Northcliffe, which obviously includes Greymount. We've been in the industry for just on 7 years, and we run a 24-hour operation with our control room, our vehicles on the road, our guarding sites, and we're quite involved in the community projects as well in terms of reporting streetlights that are out, in terms of reporting burst water pipes, electricity cables that are down and so forth. So we're quite involved in the community. Listen, I wouldn't say it's particularly part of our mandate, but obviously a hole in the road of that size and nature is quite a concerning problem for us, because if you look at Long Road, it's a main road that's running through the area, and there's thousands of cars that frequent that road on a daily basis, especially during people going to work early morning and coming home late evening. That hole was massive, 3 meters by 3 meters, and that hole has been in the road for quite some time, 6 to 8 months. So we reported it to the Joburg Roads Agency in, I think it was November last year. We reported it to the ward councillor in December. The JRA did come out a few times, and every time they came out with their trucks, they would put up some cones, or they'd put up some tape or whatever it might be, and tape it off for a while, and then they would seem to leave. The problem is the hole never got filled. And from what I understand and speaking to people in the area, is there was a leak on the main water line that was obviously causing the hole. And that leak, they were battling to repair that leak, or they did repair it, and then it started to leak again, and it was sort of a never-ending story. So, of course, you know, with all the rain that we've been having and the wind and all of that, those cones and that tape, they don't last long. That tape blows away after a week, or the cones get knocked over by cars driving down the road, or, you know, pedestrians kick them over or steal them or whatever it might be. So, ultimately, at the end of the day, that hole was left unprotected by council. An elderly gentleman coming home one night in the rain obviously didn't see it or wasn't aware of it, and he drove into it. There were a couple of ways in which we reported the hole. It was reported to JRA on their website. It was reported to the ward councillor on Twitter. It was reported on our Facebook page that it's obviously a hazard. You know, it wasn't only us that was reporting it. It was the community at large as well. I mean, the community patrollers, they reported it. It was quite a discussion in the area for quite some time. Both businesses on either side of that hole, they reported it as well many times. So why it wasn't attended to and why it wasn't a priority, I can't answer. I don't know why.
He is not pleased with the state of roads around the province and the disregard of reports by structures responsible for road maintenance.
The state of the roads in Johannesburg is a disaster. I mean, there's potholes left, right and center. Just last month, I know personally of two people who severely damaged both their cars driving up Bayers Nordia towards the N1 highway just off the Worldwear Shopping Center, where two big holes were in the road and damaged both their rims and suspension of their car, causing 40, 50,000 rands damage per car. I mean, one was a BMW and one was an Amarok. But I mean, it's the state of the roads all over is disgusting. I mean, the ratepayers and the people and the taxes that we're paying for what we're getting, it's just not adding up. Cars are being damaged. Council's not being held liable. And it's time that I think council starts being held liable for the damage that they're causing for the roads. I mean, we've got to pay licenses to have our cars on the roads. We've got to have a valid driver's license. Your car's got to be licensed in terms of your disc. Your car's got to be roadworthy to drive on the roads. But the roads are not car-worthy, if I can put it like that. There's no proper structured teams that are out on the roads daily doing what they should be doing. I mean, coming out to do the to a pothole and just putting a little bit of a cap on the top of it and hoping for the best and stamping it for the day and then leaving. We all know that lasts about a month or two, and when the next rains come, so the hole is open again. The problem is the potholes are not being fixed properly. Wherever you drive, you're landing up in potholes. It's a problem all over, and the potholes are not being dealt with. The state of the country's roads is it's in the toilet.
Johannesburg Road Works directed us to Johannesburg Water, saying after a site visit to Greymount by the JRA, the Gauteng Provincial Department of Roads and Transport, as well as Johannesburg Water, it was established that the site work, including the road excavation and the pipe repairs, were carried out by the water entity. But when contacted, they said they were unaware about the hole and therefore could not comment. Meyer said he also reported the hole to the Ward 6 councillor, but councillors are not responsible for implementing service delivery, but rather report issues to those with authority to resolve them. We spoke to Ward 6 councillor Chantelle Forisho, who took office months after the hole had been dug. She outlines her role as a councillor and said she reported the hole to Johannesburg Water.
So essentially, as the ward councillor, my role is to provide oversight or play an oversight role for the functions within the city of Johannesburg, and to also help make and draft legislations which eventually become sort of like bylaws and policies within how the city operates. SCP Security never spoke to me directly about the hole, but I'm sure they know about it and reported it to Joburg Water. They are excellent security companies, and we appreciate that. And also, like all the other residents that kept reporting it, and myself as well, I kept reporting it to Joburg Water. And they were aware of it for months and months and months. And they provide me with feedback. And the biggest issue was that there was a recurring leak. So the hole kept leaking. They came to fix it, and then it would start leaking again. And then we would fix it again, it would start leaking again, because it's a pipe from 1910, literally, like no jokes. The infrastructure is from 1910. So ideally, they need to replace that entire pipeline. But according to Joburg Water, they told me that it will cost about 80 million rand to replace the entire stretch of the pipeline that's affected. You know, budget and money is always the biggest issue.
The ward councillor says the state of infrastructure is broken because it was never maintained.
We're hoping they will be able to allocate enough money to, you know, entities like Joburg Water to actually get rid of this massive, massive backlog that we have in the city of Johannesburg. I mean, we've got an infrastructure backlog of close to 200 billion rand, that even if we gave all those departments 200 billion rand today, it would still take them at least 10 years to fix the backlog. And that's just the backlog. That's not even maintenance. Our infrastructure is broken. I'm afraid to say it's close to beyond repair. And that's why we see these kind of things, because our infrastructure was never maintained. It was just sort of just left to ruin.
Kirsty Haslim is from DSC Attorneys, a firm that specializes in all areas of personal injury law, including road accidents and other injuries due to negligence of another party. She explains the type of claims one can submit and where, how, and when to claim.
What's important to distinguish between is a claim for what's called material damage, which would be, for example, damage to your motor vehicle or your motorcycle, and then damages arising from bodily injury, because quite often if there's an accident relating to that, it can result in serious injury to the driver of that specific vehicle. So in the instance of material damage, which is damage to your vehicle, you can potentially claim your repair costs to restore your vehicle to its pre-accident condition, or if it's written off, you know, the reasonable market value of your vehicle at the time that it was written off. If it's your bodily injury that you are claiming for, then you can potentially claim for any medical and hospital expenses you've incurred. It's called general damages for pain and suffering and a loss of amenities of life, as well as any lost income that you might have suffered as a result of your injuries. And the person or institution that you claim that from will be the responsible authority who is supposed to be attending to the maintenance of that particular roadway. So it can be a local authority or it can be the provincial authority. First and foremost, you must take pictures and preserve any physical evidence. For example, if your car is damaged, your motorbike is damaged, you know, to record all of those details, But the next most important thing is where you are involved in potential litigation against the state or an organ of state, the law dictates that you have to give a statutory notice of your intention to sue, which is essentially a particular letter of demand. But that has to be submitted and delivered to that relevant authority within 6 months of the date of the accident. So that's quite a quick deadline that you have to comply with. So that's the most important thing after preserving your evidence, of course.
But Haslim says there's a catch.
If there is a known problem, if you as the resident, the local resident or local road user, if you are aware of that particular problem, then you also need to act reasonably. So, for example, it might mean that you know there's a problem there, so I must take now a different route to work because there's a problem. If you knowingly use that road where you have a reasonable alternative, that might result in you being non-suited because that's not necessarily reasonable conduct on your behalf. And, you know, there will always be an assessment of the degree to which the motorist or road user might themselves have contributed to the loss or damage. This is known as contributory negligence. So it's a balancing act to weigh up whether there are circumstances which indicate that you as the motorist were unreasonable. If, of course, you are totally unfamiliar with the area, then it would be difficult to suggest that you yourself were at fault.
Times Live was still waiting for further comment from Johannesburg Water or an interview at the time of publication. A recent study showed that SA is the most dangerous country to drive in. Some contributing factors include not wearing seat belts, alcohol-related accidents, and exceeding the speed limit. For Times Live Podcast, I'm Bulelani Nonyukela.